Hey everybody, on this episode of the GH Report, Dr. Bench is fired, Mike sounds a panic alarm, and my dear beloved Robert Scorpio has one of the lamest entries through a doorway that I've ever seen. We'll break that all down next!
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, hey everybody! That music can only mean the one thing, and that is the GH Report. Carla getting it down there. Look at that. She's bumping, busting some moves. I saw that. Yeah, look at that. Look at her go. Hey, everybody. This is the show that breaks down all the latest happenings in Port Charles and gives you our, you know, expert analysis and in-depth inquisitiveness and speculation that you can only find right here on AfterBuzz TV. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran.
And I am your co-host, Carla Renata.
And as always, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And everybody hop in the chat. Carla's got the her iPad up and running.
I do.
Which means the chat's up and running, so she can already see all those great thoughts that you have already going through. So keep them coming. So before we go into the week in depth, overall, Carla, what did you think?
I thought it was a lame week. I did. I was really annoyed with the fact that they didn't... Usually when someone passes away, it's like a week-long event with the person passing away. Because it was a baby, it kind of like, it literally was a half an episode. It wasn't even a whole episode. It was like a half an episode. I'm like, really? That's all we going to give Jonah? Okay. All right.
Well, yeah, I mean, we never...
But you know what I'm saying? It's just like, yeah. So I hate that they spent so much time on D.A. Dawson and Drew. I'm like, I don't care. Why?
It's, yeah, we'll talk about good old D.A. Dawson. She's
Shady Boots.
Yeah.
She's Shady Boots.
Not really charming me or winning me over, at the very least. Yeah, I felt much the same way. There were some moments in there where it was like, oof.
Yeah, there were like two. The first 3 days of the week were like snoozeville, and then it started to pick up like Thursday and Friday. But the first 3 days, it was like, really? Okay.
Carly and Jason, they played pool for a long time.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there were scenes that went on for days. I'm like, are we going to come out of this location anytime soon? Seriously? And then I love... Okay, we'll get to that when you start talking about it. I'm just like... Oh.
Well, why don't we just start off by mentioning the very long, protracted pool sequence between Jason and Carly. But I will say, it is always nice when we get to see the two of them just kind of hanging out, and it's not necessarily a life or death situation.
Right, and they're not plotting their latest caper or something like that. So they literally were just like hanging out for the sake of hanging out. But I love how they had a moment at some point where they were like, you know, Carly was like, you know, I don't like that D.A. Dawson. And Jason was like, you know, I don't either. This whole conversation, and she's like right behind them. She might be able to hear you. Y'all talking kind of loud. So I'm just saying, I wasn't having it this week. I was not.
Well, they are over there at the floating grip. Great to give it some love. But we also get to see Drew and D.A. Dawson on a quasi date. So the thrust of this week has been that, you know, Jason's already given Drew the heads up that Maggie's interested in him for some reason. So
to take down Sonny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or so, him.
He's going to, as he tells Curtis, you know, I'm dating her so that I can vet her. Always a good, smart tactic.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Not. It's like, come on. I don't, maybe at some point I will be invested in that storyline, but right now I'm kind of just not.
It's, you know, I felt like her entry was very similar to Chase's, where the sense that they were just so far onto the annoying side. That right away you're like, why do I care about this person?
Exactly.
And I feel like it just makes it that much harder for you to like be invested in them.
Exactly.
When the writers want you to be invested.
Exactly.
You made this person so annoying, and now you're supposed to like want me to root for this person?
I won't ever root for her because I don't like her enough to root for her. But what I am intrigued by is how she's going to take this information that she stumbled upon, how she is going to make that work to her advantage as a DA. I love the fact that Drew made Curtis investigate her to find out more about her, and it's always a red flag for me when you don't find anything about somebody. The same kind of red flag that came up when they started digging around in Peter's past and they couldn't find anything. So you know that there's something lurking around in the shadows somewhere. And they said, you know, they talked about where she went to school and how she went to Florida and whatever. Why is she in Port Charles? Of all the places in the United States, you're going to come to Port Charles, New York. There's a reason for that.
There was one comment that I think it was, during, was it Curtis and Drew, and they were talking about the salary that, a DA could make here in Port Charles. I'm like,
and I was like, really? I remember that moment. I was like, well, dang, maybe I need to move to Port Charles so I can make some duckers, because if they're making that kind of cheddar, I need to go to Port Charles. I know it's fictional, but dang.
Yeah, I was like, all right, sure.
I'm like, is Port Charles banging like that?
I would not have thought so.
That made me laugh out loud, too. I did. I chuckled. I was like, really? They making cheddar like that in Port Charles? Okay.
Well, so far we've seen with her that Kim feels like that she recognizes her from somewhere. Like, have we met before? So it could tie back into the whole Diego stuff. Yes.
Yeah.
We've seen that she's, been secretive about this flash drive. So I don't know if it ties into... Did she know Drew back before he got the memories implanted?
I think she did, and I think she's trying to figure out how much of his memories he actually remembers, if he remembers her, or if all of his memories are just of Jason's life. That's what I think she's trying to figure out before she gives up that flash drive. But the thing is, my thing is, whenever she gives up that flash drive, it's going to be shenanigans for her because she's held on to evidence. That's against the law.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, evidence, but at the very least, it was Drew's memories. Like, for the longest time, you held that from him.
She's going to go down. And, before we go any further, I just have to tell you this. So, I know we haven't talked about Mary Pat in a while because we haven't had to, but I was at the credit union this week. And I was coming out of the credit union, and I saw the actress that plays Mary Pat just standing there. And I walked past her, and I was like, man, she looks familiar. And I couldn't understand why she looked familiar to me until I heard her talking. And I literally stopped in my tracks and turned around on a dime and was like, you play Mary Pat on General Hospital. We love you. And she busted out laughing. And we had this whole conversation, and she said she would definitely come here.
Really?
She said she would come here, straight up.
All right. Let's chat with Mary Pat.
Straight up. She said she would come here, and I'm following up on it, and it's looking like it's going to happen probably sometime in the month of September, but she said she was coming.
That's fantastic. So,
Yeah, I'm working on that too. Don't even try it. So go on with the story. What else happened in General Hospital this week?
So if we're looking at the update, we're going to have the actress who plays the lovely and talented actress who plays Mary Pat. That's great. And then I look out here right now. I see four seats. It's almost August. It's almost September. Maurice Bernard. Still not here.
He's coming, dude. He's coming. I promise.
Okay. Oh, look at this. We've got a promise.
He's coming.
Carla Renata.
Him and Stone Cold and Spinelli, the whole crew, they all going to come.
Now you're being bonkers. Now you're being bonkers.
Don't clown me. Don't clown me.
It's time for you to go.
But I was very excited about Mary Pat. I just had to throw that in there while I was thinking about it. Because I thought that was really, it was so funny that for a split second, I was like, oh, I know her, and just kept walking. And then it dawned on me, like, literally two, three steps after I passed her, and I went, vroom, and turned around. And she was like, and she's really tall. Like, on TV, she looks really short.
Yeah.
She's, like, at least 5'10".
Which means, like, Steve Burton is just a giant.
Well, yeah, he is tall. I've met him. He is tall. But I was just like, she's really tall. And I know the girl that played Laura Wright, she's tall too. I met her too.
Look at that. Just like me, guys. You can't tell, but I'm really 6'3".
Yeah, okay. And moving on.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
My favorite part of the whole floating rib scenes, both with Drew and D.A. Dawson, as well as Carly and Jason, is when they do a callback for Jason getting ketchup or barbecue sauce on her Dawson's clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to leave. But I like that they leave all their food. Haven't really even eaten any of it. But they just leave it there, and they just go. And then Carly and Jason, they also finish up with their pool game, and they just leave the pool cues just on the pool table.
Just like, nasty.
They just didn't clean up after themselves. Bunch of animals.
I know. I'm like, what kind of home training do y'all have? Y'all didn't learn how to pick up after yourself at home? I don't want to see what their bedroom or house look like.
Yeah.
Ugh. I'm just saying. We never see the bedroom in Carly and Sunny's house. We always see that living room or that den or whatever that is. We never see the rest of the house, ever.
Well, we did see it once when Nell seduced Sunny, or supposedly
seduced.
And we saw
Morgan's room, but that was about it. I'm like, So, yeah, they need home training.
I feel like I think I would love a soap opera and a soap opera character more if that we did see their bedroom and it had a bit of a mess in it. I feel like, all right, because it always looks kind of nice and clean.
We've seen some characters like that over the years. I can't specifically remember which ones right now, but
you know, just give me a bunch of, you know, a bunch of shirts that are folded up above the dresser, you know, because you still can't find a place to put them yet.
They're clowning me in the chat room. Oh, they're clowning me so hard. They're clowning me.
What are they clowning you about?
They told me, they said, who was it? Let me throw it back a little bit. Basically, they said that Mary Pat will come here. Oh, it says, Kelly. Kelly's always clowning me. Kelly, why you do me like that? Kelly said, Mary Pat will get on GH Report faster than Sonny, Jason, and Spinelli combined, LOL.
That's very true.
All right, I'm gonna see how hard y'all laughing when they come here. Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. Let's see the jokes then.
Oh yeah, I can't wait, can't wait. No, of course you're all those fine comments in the chat, like such as Kelly from PEI. But you know, folks, you know, all you AfterBuzzers are great. You really support a lot of the work that we do. You make it so that we have an opportunity and a platform to come and talk about the shows that we love as well as you love too.
Yep.
So, but you know. AfterBuzz is not just the GH Report. There are so many other things that happen here.
Nope.
We basically produce after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows,
yep.
From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve their television fans. But we need your help. So we're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, you don't have to, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel, and check out the other AfterBuzz TV channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and Carla Renata will come up with the customized, soul-stirring, and very touching shout-out to you that she'll give right here on the air. So for now, thanks for being the best fans in the business and for making us the ESPN of TV Talk.
That was very well done, Frank.
Not at all.
I have to say,
nope.
Better you than me.
So the other big storyline that we have here, which I'm excited about the ramifications potentially leading up to it, is the whole Finn and Anna saga. They've been abducted so that Finn could help Cassandra
mm-hmm.
wake up out of the coma that she's been in for. I think it was, they said 8 months. I think
mm-hmm.
it was like.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I give it for Finn. You know, he's fallen right back into that. You know, the kind of like that little spy thing. As much as Anna is like,
she's like, no, I don't want you to help me, girl. Yes, you do. Stop playing. Like, come on.
You see that smile on her face after Finn, like, you know, convinced those guys that the rumor is contagious and they needed to go out and get medication.
Absolutely. And then I love how he. How they scared Cassandra, and they were like, well, you know, you can work with us or not, but if you don't, this is what's going to happen. And she's like, okay, fine, I'll tell you everything you want to know.
Yeah.
I'm like, that didn't take much.
No.
I wanted to see a little bit more of a struggle there, but, you know, I'm sure they had to move on with the storylines.
Well, what I like is it didn't take incredibly long, at least for this part of the story, to kind of resolve itself and move on to the next phase. Because we also have Robert Scorpio
and Chase
working in Port Charles. He's now promoted to the official WSB liaison.
Oh, look
at him go. Look at Chase moving
look
up in
Chase.
The world. Yes.
Hey.
Look at him go. And I like the dynamic. And, of course, anytime you get to see more Robert Scorpio, I'm happy about that.
Me too.
But they're able, because of Finn's making them go buy specific medication, they're able to track him.
Right. But they clash in like the Titans, though.
Oh, yeah.
Scorpio and Chase. They not.
Well,
really?
You know, because he's busting balls a little bit.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, Scorpio comes after him every little chance he gets. And Chase is like, look, Finn is my brother. Which I kind of love that they're keeping the through line of him caring more about Finn than Finn cares for him.
True.
And that ultimately he may be the reason that Finn is saved, and their relationship may change or shift as a result of that. So I kind of love GH for that.
Yeah, it's and I did like when Scorpio throws it to Chase, like, hey, that's your brother. Don't you think you're a little too close to this? Like, oh, I'm sorry, isn't this your ex-wife and the mother of your daughter? I'm sorry, how's that any different than that? It's like, all right, I got it. Thank you. So they do find them, but, of course, Cassandra, as always, when you leave somebody in a room while you're going to go check out the rest of the area, when you come back, that person's always going to be gone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she is gone. She wakes up in a car, and there's somebody with a Cassadine crest on their ring.
Well, that's what somebody said in the chat room. They said whoever has her has the Cassadine ring on. So it's probably Valentine.
Oh, no. I'm thinking it's Stefan.
Stefan?
Yes.
Shut up.
Stephen Nichols is wrapping up from Days.
Mm-hmm.
This is more of a news and gossip thing. But real quick, he's wrapping up from Days, and so there's been a lot of talk about him coming back to GH.
Ooh, that would be interesting. I'd like that. I'd be down for that.
I mean, he died in kind of, I mean, not the greatest way. I mean, he kind of, they had wrote his character to really extreme by the time he got
You know what? It may be him because Jeannie Francis is coming back, right?
be nice
so
as well.
Oh, that could be really interesting and juicy. Yay, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, it's been with, especially with Jeannie Francis, there's been talk of like her being involved in two storylines. And one has been the Kevin Ryan thing.
And the other one will probably be the Cassadine thing.
Which would make sense. If you're going to bring back
that. Look at us sleuthing.
Look at that. So that'll be cool. And those are two storylines that'll be very Laura focused, which would be nice.
Oh, yeah. Look at us sleuthing and working out storylines for GH. Hey.
So, So we get Cassandra. She's going to play into the somehow as to why Stefan or, well, I'm sorry, whoever has the Cassadine ring at this point.
Right.
So we have no official confirmation that it's Stefan, but whoever has, we still don't know the reason why it's so important that they get Cassandra. So I guess we're still waiting
on that. We'll figure that out.
Yeah.
I was like, whatever. Who cares?
And as I mentioned, Robert Scorpio having one of my least cool entrances in her door.
Let's see what you have to say about this.
When they come in to the clinic, wherever they're being held, mm-hmm. and Robert Scorpio, busts open the door, and what does he yell first as he comes in? He yells, "Don't shoot!" He comes in with his gun, "Don't shoot!" Like that's not a cool entrance.
You gonna come in with your gun with a gun and say, "Don't shoot?"
Yeah.
With a gun in your hand, okay.
It's not like, hands up, no WSB, no announcement. It's just, don't shoot.
Like, I'm going to need you to have a badge in your hand or something. Yeah, that's kind of like.
Come on, Robert Scorpio. You can come up with a cooler entrance line than that. Come on. And then it's also, I'm trying to think, like, is he, because he has no idea that Anna's there. So if he's expecting to open up that door and there's a bad guy with a gun, that saying don't shoot is going to make that person say, oh, I guess he told me not to shoot, so I won't.
I'm going back to the who took Cassandra. I'm thinking it probably is Valentine. Because remember, like, I think it was either last week or a couple of weeks ago where Robert Scorpio came and talked to Valentine about Cassandra. And he was like, oh, I don't know where she is. I don't know why you're asking me, blah, 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 blah. And then after Robert leaves, he says, I should have killed you when I had the chance.
Yeah, but I don't know if Valentine necessarily would because she was... As far as I know, she was in a coma. She wasn't going to be talking because she does know where.
But he knew she was in a coma and he knew where she was. Don't you think he knew where she was? I think he knew where she was.
Yeah, I don't think it's him though, because I want it to be Stefan, because then it's going to lead to a big Cassadine brouhaha.
But we'll see.
Which would be nice.
We'll see, because I think it's all going to tie into who has Nina's daughter too. Don't you think?
Yeah. Well, I think we know who has Nina's daughter. I mean. We know who that is.
Who?
That's Kiki.
Oh.
That's going to be Kiki. That's got to be Kiki.
You think?
Absolutely. So we do see Valentine's his good deed for the week.
Goes to visit her mother. I kind of love Donna Mills when she shows up on General Hospital because she is Trey Shaday. She is the best.
Yes.
She is the best. And I have to laugh because, she's a diva from way back when. There is no way she is ever going to be seen on TV without no makeup at all. Like, she had a little bit of mascara and eyeshadow. I'm like, go ahead, Donna Mills. Don't let them put you out there like that.
I don't know, man. She knows what's up.
And she had on a wig, too, because that wasn't her hair.
How do you know it's not her hair?
Because it wasn't a part. If you're wearing a wig that doesn't have a part...
That's not your real hair.
That's not your hair. Look, roll it back and look at it. You will see that the part on the side of her head, there is no skin. You don't see a part there. That's a wig. And you can see her hairline in the very front because they pulled it back a little bit so that you could see her hairline. I'm a girl. I know these things.
I will not disagree with you, but, Donna Mills, come on now.
I was like, Donna Mills put a wig on? Like, really? Because usually she kind of rolled with her own hair, but maybe she wasn't feeling it that day.
Yeah,
and it had the perfect highlights, just like her hair, but that was not her hair.
Why don't you tweet her and find out for real?
Child, I'm not going to have her read me. She's a tough cookie. She's not coming after me.
You're asking a question.
Donna Mills will read me. I promise you. She one of them old school divas, honey. She'll come with you both barrels blazing. I'm not trying to be on her hit list this year.
Okay.
No.
All right, that's fine. Well, we do see that Nina decides to go and finalize her divorce. And we see, as always, like, Diane trying to be the voice of wisdom. Like, that she's been in this situation many times. And she's like, take your time. There's absolutely zero rush. And I'm just like, you set this arbitrary 30-day mark.
And then as soon as she says that, she signs immediately. That's what made me laugh. As soon as she said there's no rush, she was like, give me that pen.
Yeah.
I said, okay. I think that was a mistake.
Well, yeah, because she said the same kind of thing to Sonny and Carly when they were going through their divorce. Mm-hmm. She said the same thing to Nina. You know, Sonny and Carly regretted it. Nina, you know she's going to regret it. And so I'm like, just listen to Diane. Because
Diane said to her, she says, you're shaking. You know, it still feels like you have some feeling. And I agree with Diane. Like, we all know that Nina has a soft spot in her heart for Valentine. But she literally has talked herself into believing that she cannot get past what he did to Peter. Why are you holding that big of a grudge against Valentine about Peter? Let Peter hold that grudge. Why don't you move on to something else? Like, if you want to be mad at him about something that he did to you, not something that he did to Peter.
Well, that's, yeah, and I don't know how much of it is her, like, still, even if she may not consciously admit it, but still tying it into, you know, Nathan / James being dead, mm-hmm. and all that being tied into it, and so...
But I'm just like, because it starts to feel more and more like she keeps blaming him for what he did to Peter. Peter's a grown man. If Peter wants to hold a grudge against Valentine, he's perfectly capable of doing that. But I'm going to need you, if you are really upset with him, then be upset with him about something that doesn't involve somebody else's life. Like, I get you're mad at him about your brother. She'll never get over that because that's her brother, and her brother's not coming back anytime soon. So maybe she's all salty about Peter because Peter is still living, and she feels like she can't fight for Nathan anymore, but she can fight for Peter. I don't know. I'm guessing. I don't have a clue, but I'm going to need her to stop that. I just need her to shut that down and go on with her life.
Well, I mean, we've seen, like the last time that they had kind of broken up. I mean, it took a while for Nathan or for Valentine to kind of win her over. And I figure it's got to be something even bigger, which does make sense that they'd play the card of Nina's baby still being alive. Because I feel like him bringing that information to her and, you know, hopefully her real daughter is big enough for her to take him back.
I don't know that she would, though.
I think that would be a big enough gesture that would, because that is so critical to who Nina is.
It is. I mean, that whole monologue that she had with Maxie where she talked about, you know, not being able to have a child or have her child taken from her, and it's been 20 years and this, that. Like, that was heartbreaking. It really was. And Maxie saying, and then her flipping around and saying that Maxie was an important part to her and she was really happy for that relationship. Because just not that long ago, they had a very contentious relationship, too. Maxie was popping off on her and acting crazy. Yeah. But I'm going to leave that up to the hormones because she was pregnant. So I'm going to say that, you know, Maxie had, like, crazy pregnant woman hormone drama, and that's why she was popping off at Nina the way that she was. But having said all of that, I feel like Nina has shown such crazy behavior in the past when it comes to babies that I don't know how she would deal with somebody who's a grown woman. Do you know what I'm saying? Even though that's her daughter, I don't know what her reaction would be to the person being... I don't know if she'd just be glad to have her daughter back and just pick up and move on from where they are, or if she'll revert to some other crazy behavior. Because, you know, after all, she is related to Liesl. Like, let's not forget that.
Yeah, but, I mean, given the opportunity...
And look who her mama is. I'm like... Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs all the way around. So,
but she could have easily hopped on board with Liesl and, you know, tortured the hell and possibly kill Peter. And she,
but wouldn't. She did for a little bit. Like, she was all on board for in the beginning, and then she jumped off real quick when she saw that it was going to go left.
Yeah.
The minute she saw it was going to go left, then she was like, "Ooh, I might not want to be on this gravy train. Let me just jump off real quick." You know?
Yeah. I'll be curious. I mean, it's always been as we talked about last week too, the long speculation that Kiki is her daughter. Mm. I think it makes sense to still keep it that way because I don't know. I mean, usually it's smarter if it's somebody that's on canvas. I guess that has a bigger payoff, mm-hmm. I think. Or would you be happy if it was Kiki, or would you rather have it be somebody we've never seen before and part of the storyline is going somewhere in the world and finding that person?
I think I would be good either way. If it is Kiki, then that's going to create more Ava drama because she's going to act out. You know, she always acting out. And now that she's done what she's done to Griffin, she has no more remorse about anything. So she will act out in full effect if that's the case. If they bring somebody from someplace else, the stakes aren't as high. Like, it'll just be like, oh, here's your daughter, and she was lurking wherever she was lurking. So, and they would have to create a whole family that would have been keeping her, all this. Like, it would just be way too much to create all of that, mm-hmm. as opposed to having Kiki be her kid. Because Kiki's already there, and the stakes are already high with Kiki being her kid, it's because Ava would be involved. So there's that.
Because I feel like it's not any mistake from with when they did the scene a couple weeks back where Franco and Ava were talking, and Franco kind of threw back in her face, like, you had me believe that I was Kiki's father
exactly. for the longest
time. So I feel like, why bring that up at that moment if it wasn't at least to put it on a radar? Like, oh, yeah, she's done some shady stuff in terms of Kiki's parentage before.
That's true. That's true. I agree with you on that one. That is true. I have forgotten about that moment. But, yeah, I don't know. You know how soaps are. Sometimes they will go so far left that you don't even see it coming. And then sometimes they go with the obvious. Like, we didn't see Chase coming at all. Did you see Chase coming?
No.
So I'm just saying, sometimes they just go so far left that you don't see people coming. We still, I think her name was Chandra. We don't know if Chandra's coming or not.
I'm fine with Chandra. If she doesn't, I'm fine. That whole storyline, it's like, I really...
But no. I kind of hope it's Kiki, because if it is Kiki, then that will explain a lot. That will explain why she is so soft, so to speak. She's not as lethal as her mom. She's not as... Or Ava. She's not as vindictive as Ava is. She won't go through any lengths necessary to make somebody suffer. Like, she actually has a conscience, where Ava has no conscience. Ava will have a conscience for all of 5 seconds, and then she gets over it real quick.
That's very true.
Like, when she had that encounter in the park with Griffin, and they had that little conversation. Oh, yes. And I was just like, you really just gonna tell him to his face? And his face was mortified. Like, he couldn't even believe she was telling him that.
Before we hop completely into that, okay. The one last thing I wanted to mention about the Valentine Kiki, Valentine Nina and Maxie is I did like the sequence where Valentine, Maxie, and Nina are there in the Metro Court. Mm-hmm. Nina leaves, and then Valentine and Maxie have a moment, and Valentine just kind of, tells Maxie what's up.
He basically reads her and is like, you can be mad at me all you want to, but don't be using Nina to do it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. He read her. He said that, and then he bounced like a rubber ball. I was like, well, okay then, Valentine.
Yeah.
He has spoken his piece, and now he's gone. And then the camera was on Maxie's face like, damn, he found me out.
James Patrick Stewart is awesome. I mean, he is
I love
just
him.
So
he's
much
really
fun
good.
To watch.
He's but, really good.
And what is interesting about Valentine is that he knows who he is in that sense. I mean, he's done a lot of shitty stuff in his past. But that, I'm an imperfect man. But the one thing that he does know for sure is that he absolutely loves Nina, and he loves his daughter.
Yeah.
And everything else.
We haven't seen that daughter in a minute.
No, I think they'll
they're going to age her up.
They might as well age her up. Give somebody for Cameron to hang out with.
I'm like, we haven't seen her in a minute. What's up with that? Where'd she go? They hiding her. Where's she at?
So, yes, let's talk about Ava and Griffin. So they had this great meet cute in the park where, he's running in the afternoon. I thought you ran in the morning.
Right, that's correct. Yeah, I thought you ran in the morning. Why are you running now? He's like, well, ever since that court case, I can't run in the morning. I'm like, well, yeah, there's that.
And the reason she's in the park is that her and Julian, as well as Leo, are out in the park. Leo wants to go look for butterflies, so they stop there. And then they're just having a chat about life, and then Griffin and Ava get away, and they have their own little moment. You're right, and so Ava says, "This is who I am. This is who I try to change for you. This is not that it wasn't me."
If I hear her say that one more time, I'm gonna slit my throat. I'm like, just like, oh my god, I cannot hear you say that one more time. Like, you didn't change that much. All you did was whine. The thing about it is, she didn't really change. She just whined about changing. She never really changed. She was how many times did we see a scene where he was talking to Kiki, or he was hugging Kiki, or whatever the situation was, and she was lurking in the background with that strange, crazy look on her face?
Yeah.
She never really changed. She just whined about changing. So there's that.
I had this picture and I could have deleted it a dozen times, but something inside me just knew.
And it turns out I was right.
Ugh.
I'm like, oh, girl, please.
So that makes it right that you took the photo then. That makes it right.
Girl. Just like, bye, Felicia. Go on about your business. It was just too much.
So after that, though, after Ava just lays into Griffin, of course, Julian comes in with Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Griffin, help, help. Leo had fallen off of a tree looking for a butterfly. He's not responding. Julian is the worst in any of those situations. He just gets so overly panicked. Yes. Oh, gosh.
He did, but this week, he was another one where the camera would be on his face and he'd be like, dun, dun, dun. if they show him lurking in the shadows one more time, like when he was trying to get that information.
Oh, yes.
From the lawyer's office, from Diane's office, when her and Alexis were meeting about the court case. I'm like, if he is lurking around a corner one more time. And then I hate that he did it right after Alexis said to him, I love when you're like this. I don't mind when you bother me when you're like this. And then what does he do? The exact opposite. Do just the opposite of the thing that she likes about you so that she can hate you once again.
Yeah.
And why was he so easily swayed to help Brad cover stuff up? Like,
well, because
I know because Lucas is his son, but dang, really? And are we going to find out that that's really Nell's kid? Like, are they going to do a paternity test on this child? What's going to go down?
Yeah, I mean, I figure at some point it's going to come out that it is Nell's baby.
I think that's we're going to see Michael in Ferncliff. I think he looks like he's on the verge of a nervous breakdown. I feel bad for him. I do.
Well, they keep always, you know, rubbing salt in the wound. Like, Michael shows up to the little impromptu baby thing. I'm like, oh, okay. All right, Michael. But the key piece that we do find out at the end of the Avon Griffin element is that the idea that Julian planted the blanket that Nina had, or that Ava had, from Nell.
Mm-hmm.
So Griffin is putting together the kind of chain of custody, mm-hmm. and ultimately, as we see from the teasers for next week, it's mm-hmm. like, you helped Nell
mm-hmm.
Put Carly in Ferncliff.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like it is not going to go well for Ava. Once it gets back to Carly, Sonny, and Jason,
it's a wrap. If Ava thought he was trying to kill her when she was pregnant, with Avery, honey, she don't know what's coming now. Ooh, they gonna, I know, right? Dun, dun, dun. They gonna come for her. They gonna come for her, both barrels blazing.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when he was trying to kill her? They had her hanging off a bridge. I was like, oh no. They got my girl pregnant and hanging off a bridge, and she still survived that. She's like a roach. You just can't kill her.
And she came back as her twin sister. Oh, that was a dark day.
Oh, that was. Ooh.
That was rough. That was so rough.
With the black hair?
Yes. That was bad news. But to tie into the Julian side of it, yeah, he spent this week where Brad has finally opened up to him and told him what's up.
Mm-hmm.
And so Julian, because of his love for Lucas, I mean, even though...
Those were good scenes for him, by the way, because we talked about this before, usually Brad, he comes in, he says one or two lines, and he's gone. The last couple of weeks, they've really been giving him some stuff to chew on, and he's been doing an excellent job.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess for Julian, for somebody that has kind of, through his own actions, kind of pushed his own children away, mm-hmm. and now just wants to try to have any sort of relationship...
Yeah.
I could see why he would, you know, try to do whatever he could to make this, he's feeling he's doing something to help his son.
I know, but...
It's dark and weird.
That's, yeah, I just, like, I really wished, there's part of me that wished that Brad had just fessed up, because him leaving the room every time somebody talks about a baby is getting really old.
It is.
Like, I'm going to need him to have some self-control and actually stay in a room and grin and bear it, like, at least once. That's getting on my nerves.
Where it ends up being Lucas and, you know, Alexis, like, he's going to be okay, right? Oh, yeah, he just needs a moment. That's it. Yeah. I feel like if you were to tell anybody this, Julian is one of the best people that you could tell, because... Mm-hmm. Given his background, being...
He's not going to tell nobody.
Yeah, he's involved in organized crime.
He knows how to keep a secret. That's homeboy know how to keep a secret, yeah. That's for sure.
His moral compass is slightly skewed, so that is somebody that feels like they could get this information and still feel like they're doing something good with it.
But wait, this is my favorite moment. When he comes back in after being on the phone with Julian, when Brad comes back in after being on the phone with Julian, and Lucas is like, are you okay? And Brad is like, oh yeah, for the first time I feel like I can breathe and I feel like this is actually going to go our way. And Alexis is looking at him like, what the hell is the look on her face when she's looking at him like, what the hell? Like, 2 minutes ago you were acting like you were having a nervous breakdown. Now everything's okay. She knows something is up. You can see by the look on her face, she knows something is up, and she's just trying to figure out what it is.
Yeah. It's I give it for Alexis. I mean, she had her suspicions about Kiki and Griffin, and like Kiki was keeping something. So she's always got at least her senses tingle. So.
Yeah, she got good instincts. I'll give her that.
Yeah,
when it comes to everybody else but herself.
Oh, for sure, for sure. But it is nice to start seeing her and Christina at least starting to mend fences as well, though.
Yeah. That was nice when she came by.
And yeah,
that was a nice scene. Yeah.
So speaking of Kiki and Alexis, so of course Alexis was able to get that win for Kiki in the courtroom. Hooray!
Yay.
Dr. Bench loses. And we were kind of speculating what was going to happen with Dr. Bench. We find out this week the other shoe drops. He gets fired.
Thank goodness. Because if they had come back with an appeal trial, I'm like, yeah, no, GH, that is not okay. He should have been fired immediately because he was wrong as two left shoes.
Are you disappointed that they structured it that way? Where it's like, oh, Dr. Quartermain wants to see you. Probably to apologize to me for everything that's happened. And then cut to, he comes back fired. Would you rather have seen that conversation with him and Monica to get the firing?
No, I was okay with that. I don't need to see that because you could tell that it was coming. So I don't need to see that. I'm just glad they got rid of him because he was creeping me. I said this from the moment he showed up in General Hospital. He creeped me out. There was something not quite right about him, and I was right.
Well, it feels like they're not done with Dr. Bench yet. I think he's going to go off the deep end now that he's lost his job. And
oh, yeah. He's going to have shenanigans. He is. He will have shenanigans. He'll be like the clown killer. Remember that?
Great.
He'll come back and he'll be trying to kill people off. They'll just ceremoniously disappear and we won't know why. And it'll be Dr. Bench that did it.
It would be, you know, I guess now could be, and we've talked about this in the past, like a good old murder mystery for... But I feel
they
like,
haven't had one in a while, so they're due.
But I feel like with Dr. Bench, the only one, at least for now, is Kiki. I mean, Alexis tried the case. You know, they've had a little bit of history, but other than like maybe Alexis and Kiki, I don't know if there's not enough suspects to make it really interesting.
Well, they could do something with Dr. Bench could do with Kiki something similar, not similar, but in the lane of what Nell was trying to do with Carly, but do it better. You know what I mean? Like drive her insane so that she would have to quit or at least be deemed medically, what's the word? Not incoherent, but there's a term for that and I can't remember what it is, but...
Mentally incompetent?
That's it, incompetent. Medically incompetent to serve at General Hospital in any capacity. Like, that would be the worst thing he could do to her because it would be really hard to prove that she's not. If he does something really, really crazy, it would be really hard to prove that she's not medically incompetent. It would be take forever to prove that, for her to get reinstated. Oof. So that would be, like, a good way for that to unfold because it would take forever to do it.
I don't know if I want... I could want to have spend forever watching that storyline happen. That might be a little rough. They could hit the fast-forward button on the story a little bit there. Let's just do it.
Okay.
Another storyline that we've got here, speaking of hospital workers, we've got, you know, Kiki's, in terms of nurses, her best friend, her, Elizabeth, who lets Franco take the boys for school shopping. And Franco, you know, it's like, of course, you know, Liz is already worried about it. Like, oh, I hope he's going to be okay about this. He spends his time starting off in the park, just eating pretzels, talking about the day. And there, again, Cameron is another character that they have, you know, if you're trying to get us
turned
to at least
him into a villain, I'm like, they have villainized that poor child.
You know, I don't necessarily villainized, but certainly, you know, not,
he's not likable.
No,
he's not likable by any stretch of the imagination, which brings me back to, it made me laugh so hard that when the funeral was happening, that, Michael asked Oscar to go in and take care of Joss, and Joss was oh too happy to see him. Whereas, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the last time we saw Joss and Oscar, Joss was letting him have it. So now they okay? Like everything's all good in the hood?
Well, I mean, Drew and Oscar had that talk about, you know, it's like, you know, when Jocelyn's going through something like this, you just got to be there for that person because they're not going to be, you just got to show up.
I mean, I guess. So he showed up and that was that. But yeah. But I feel like Cameron is there to upset that little happy union because he's tried very numerous times unsuccessfully to try to split them up. So I think he probably has something else up his sleeve.
Yeah, it was just like that conversation between him and Franco because he does let when his brother Aiden mentions that he wanted to get these pencils with the princess so they honor him. And it's like, no, those are for girls. And that conversation was just ugh, which an interesting conversation to have. Between Franco and Cameron, if Cameron had been at least an ounce more likable to understand, because right now what he had said, like, because it is one thing in the objective, his point was teachers and parents will say that we have to celebrate each other's differences, but that doesn't change the fact that kids are still going to bully kids for things that they don't
like. And kids can be merciless when it comes to bullying. They're really mean.
Yeah.
Really mean. I mean, growing up, I was on the other end of that all, and as an adult, I'm still on the other end of it all the time. And people can just be really cruel, and I don't think they intentionally, I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, the children, but the children sometimes repeat behavior that they see in their homes. Mm-hmm. So, but with Cameron's case, I don't know where he's getting that behavior from, because his mom doesn't act like that.
No.
His dad didn't act like that. Like, I don't know where he must be getting it from his classmates.
I guess.
Because his behavior is just, he's just mean.
It was just.
Very mean-spirited.
After that conversation with Franco, I was just like, I'm with Franco on this. I mean, and it's easy for a kid or for an adult or a teacher to tell a kid, like, oh, yeah, well, you know, you be you. But the kid's the one that has to endure still the hazing and the picking on that can happen. The teacher and the parents are not going to be there with them 24/7. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that have to deal with all of that. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so I can understand wanting to try to spare your younger brother than that. But, man, there's a nicer way to at least have that conversation.
Yeah.
Ugh. And I was like, Cameron, come on now. Ugh. I mean, I guess that's also the inexperience of youth, I suppose, but it was like annoying.
Yeah, I mean, you learn from your experiences. You know, when you're young, you learn by getting your face cracked. I mean, there's not really another way to put it. You learn from your mistakes by getting your face cracked. And if your face gets cracked enough, you're like, okay, I need to not ever visit that lane ever again. Some people learn that lesson and some people don't. Some people spend their whole life trying to figure that out. They never learn the lesson. And then others get it right away. I don't know what the case is going to be with Cameron. And I feel like they're sending him down such a little dark path that I'm afraid what storyline they're going to have him involved in. It actually kind of makes me frightened.
Yeah, I just wish I feel like GH, when they bring a character in, they will just write to an extreme. And I just wish they'd try to do a little bit more down the middle.
Yeah.
To get audiences invested in the character more.
Yeah.
And then go whichever direction you want to go with them.
I agree with that.
Because right now it's like, I don't care about this Cameron kid.
Well, I agree with that.
And it still confuses me because, like, Emma and Cameron used to be a thing. Now right. Cameron's older and
Emma's still sweet and she's still little and Cameron's like grown.
Yeah, like, okay. Because
they like Emma. But but somebody in the, Ms. Jackie says that Liz was such a multidimensional character when the writers actually cared about writing for her. And they said they never give kids the War Hero 99 said never give kids the benefit of the doubt. And then somebody else said it would have been boring if they aged Cameron up to be boring like Oscar. And then Daisy Flower said he was doing what a big brother should do. So, and big brothers are never soft on younger brothers. So there's that.
Yeah, great. That's true. I mean, I guess it's the older brother.
Thank you all for your input. We really do appreciate what you say, and we love having the conversation with you. There's that.
One last storyline before we get going on is the continuing saga of Mike and Sonny.
Yeah, I'm going to need them to find not a resolution, but figure out a way for Sonny to have that conversation with Mike and them move that along, because now it's starting to get a little laborious, you know. But I do love that he's having these moments with his dad, like the baseball thing with his dad, with them watching the baseball game and him creating it, because he doesn't remember, him creating this whole scenario where he thought he actually taught Sonny how to play ball when he didn't. He wasn't there. He was an absentee dad. But he doesn't remember that because that memory is too painful for him.
Yeah. What I want to focus on is the way it ended, where Mike finds himself all alone in the house, sees one of the bodyguards walking around the grounds, hits the alarm button, it goes blaring through, and everybody pops in drawing guns on Mike. Oh, and that was
heartbreaking. And I think that's going to be the impetus that goes, okay, we're going to have to do something. But then at the same time, I'm like, don't y'all know that Sonny's father? Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No. It's like, part of me is like, oh. But then I'm like, haven't y'all met Mr. Corinthos? Like, what the hell is going on? You ain't met Mike? Come on. He been there for weeks, months. You don't know who he is?
Yeah, and figure, like, it would be set up when Sonny tells Felix, like, yeah, you can leave. We've got it taken care of. He's got a GPS on him. There's no way he's going to leave the grounds. You don't have to worry about staying here until the replacement comes. Go for it. And then, of course, you just know they're going to write something bad to happen in that moment.
Yeah, I have a GPS on my mom, too.
Really?
I do. There's an app called Life 360 that's on my mother's phone. So as long as my mother has her phone with her, I know where she is, like the exact location of where she is. So if shenanigans ensue or something goes wrong, I'll know exactly where to go to find her.
I can never put that app on my phone. I get too many shenanigans I get involved into. I don't need anybody to know what I'm getting into.
Okay, speaking of which, what kind of news we got?
All right, so hot news. Hot gossip. There we go. So we've already talked a little bit about the possibility of Stephen Nichols coming back, resuming the role of Stefan Cassadine. We've got that. We also have Dr. Bench, as we're talking about turning the tables and becoming more of a stalker on Kiki, another possible storyline that's going to be happening. The other one, and it's, I guess, not really news, but there is the big talk about the J-Sam reunion coming along down the pipe.
Yay!
In our remaining here minute or so, I will ask, would you... Can they recapture the same magic that they had before?
Hell yes.
And do you even care?
Yes, I do. I am a J-Sam fan all the way. Speaking of J-Sam, we wish some good spirits and wishes toward Kelly Monaco. She had hip surgery this week.
Oh.
I was like, oh, that Dancing with the Stars must have really jacked up the hips.
Well, she keeps falling down those stairs too much.
Uh-uh. But we wish her well, and it looks like she's healing quite nicely. Great. But yeah, I am a J-Sam fan all the way.
You know, for me, I feel like the J-Sam time was great. And I've spoken about this extensively every time it was being teased. I have zero interest in seeing it happen.
They still
again.
Have chemistry, though, dude. Even when they were at the funeral and looking at each other, like, this is the thing. You can't fake chemistry. It's either there or it isn't. And I don't care what anybody says. Steve Burton and Kelly Monaco got chemistry for days. Whenever they look at each other on screen, it's like freaking fireworks. So, yeah, it's going to be off and popping. I can't wait.
Great. I can't wait.
So that they can play your favorite song.
Oh, man. No.
So I can
come in
every day and talk to you about that song.
Oh. We also have Dominic Zambronia talking about, of course, he left his Dante,
yes,
working on some other projects. But they did do an interview with him, and he said that he'd always be up for coming back, probably back into GH if his schedule.
Well, they left it open because they have him on assignment, so they didn't kill him off or anything like that. So he could definitely come back at any time.
He did say that ideally he'd come back if they promoted him up to police commissioner, and he could just be a reoccurring character. He'd be happy to do that.
That would be fierce. I'd like that.
There you go.
But I kind of feel weird with Lulu running around by herself. It just feels weird.
It'll be curious to see how long that they would go. So I feel like at one point they're going to have to do, like, Dante was killed in action, on this mission or whatever. And so then Lulu's going to have to move on and mourn, and then... At some point, you could put it together with Chase. I know there's a talk on Twitter. There are a lot of scenes with Chase and Lulu.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
And my response to that was that I hope it was just more of trying to deepen Chase's relationships and friendships in Port Charles, and not necessarily a potential setting up a new relationship.
And I love how she was this week. She was like, my sofa is closed for my couch is closed for business. I'm like, well, okay, she made that clear.
Only my bed is open.
You cannot be getting drunk and coming and laying on my sofa smelling pancakes.
That's Carla speaking as well. Her own couch is closed from business, everybody. Do not try to go over there and try to smell pancakes at Carla's place. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the GH Report. Why, we did it again, Carla.
I know, right?
Look at this. As always, folks, thanks for joining us here. And you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel. And thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. Carla gave everybody a great big thanks for all your thoughts and comments. We really do appreciate it. And make sure that you comment that you subscribe because, Carla is dying to craft a personalized shout out to a few of you that she could deliver next time we get together. But until then, folks, if you want to stay in touch with us even after the show's over, Carla, where can they find you?
You can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. You can also find me at 5:10 p.m. on Sundays at Black Hollywood Live with Black Tomatoes. And you can catch me on the Turner Classic Movie Channel during the month of September talking about the Black experience on film.
Woo! Yes! Make sure to check that out. Carla's going to be awesome on that. Folks, follow me on Twitter and Instagram, or don't. I'm not going to make you do anything you don't feel comfortable doing. Over there at Happy Go Jackie. Until next time, folks, this has been Frank and Carla here at the GH Report. Go get up to some shenanigans. I can't say that right. Go ahead, but do it, though.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.